And so to hot Jupiters, planets like gas giants with vast hot tails, studied by Dakota Tyler at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles. And the way this former sports star came to astronomy is a lesson in itself. I love your first name. Where did that come from?
My mom, when I was a baby, named me Dakota, but we actually have a small percentage Cherokee Indian. I'm a card-carrying Cherokee. So although it's not actually a Cherokee name, now that I think about it.
Interesting background, because I have very few Cherokees in the science show on a regular basis. But just before I start talking about astronomy, you were a great sportsman as well until something happened. What was it?
Yeah, football, American football. I played safety at the University of Kentucky, and I tore my ACL my junior year, and then also my meniscus a couple of times while I was rehabbing. So that actually pivoted me and got me on this trajectory to doing astronomy and astrophysics.
Yeah. That's not an injury you can possibly put up with happily, because Sam Kerr, one of the greatest soccer players from Australia, has had that impediment very much herself. How did you go from that kind of situation to physics?
Yeah, so it's interesting. During that rehab, I was on the couch a lot, and I started watching documentaries, and I've always been curious, so I like to learn. And I got into these astronomy documentaries and realized that there is this entire universe out there that is doing all of these mysterious things, and there's planets, and there's other stars, and there's these wild exotic systems. And I just got really interested in it, and then found out that that's like a career that you can actually have. And from there, I guess I've literally never looked back.
Documentaries by Carl Sagan, perhaps?
Carl Sagan, yeah. The original Cosmos, and then also the reboot Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's another really good one called How the Universe Works that are general intro to the universe education for the public, and they got me hooked.
And you did the maths, and you passed the maths, and your quest is to look for Jupiters, in other words, planets which are like Jupiter, giants, mostly gas. Found many?
So we've definitely found a lot of hot Jupiters. They are the easiest to find just because they're the most massive. But specifically what I study is how these planets evolve, because stars form, planets form around them, but there's an evolution process as time goes on. And so the planets that we see when we look out at mature systems are not necessarily what the initial population of planets were. And this is really interesting to think about, because a system like our solar system that has life around it, and what went into that evolutionary process to make the Earth habitable or to make other planets uninhabitable. And so that's what I like to study. How do these planets evolve?
Of course, the Earth fluked a moon at the last minute, which is the Goldilocks, as they say, making it possible for all sorts of life to evolve in that way. But when it comes to those giants, surely isn't it more difficult to make a giant like that made out of gas? And how much of it is actually rock on the inside, or isn't there any?
Yeah, so how do you get a planet that large? Is it really hard? Is it rare? And it turns out any planet will turn into a gas giant if it's massive enough. So it's kind of about crossing this threshold of some core mass where that little core gets enough gravity that it can start eating up the hydrogen and helium that's around. And then there's like a runaway effect where it'll just start eating up everything and sort of grow to this enormous gas giant. And once that runaway effect happens, once you get nudged over that hill, it's easy to get much, much more massive. I think the only problem is getting to that point. So clearly these gas giants are common. You know, it's not necessarily common for them to be right next to the star. We find about 1% of stars have hot Jupiters, but apparently it's not hard to make a gas giant if you have enough stuff to create a really massive core.
And even have moons of its own. And our own, famously with Galileo, had 9 moons. I think more than that now.
Oh, yeah. Jupiter, I think, is up in the 80s or 90s. Saturn is, I think, in the 90s, maybe crossed over 100. But yeah, once you get that massive, not only do you eat up a bunch of gas and dust and, you know, turn into this gas giant, but you start grabbing these other things that are floating around in the solar system, and you capture moons. Some of the moons we think even formed as the planet was forming, almost like its own mini solar system.
And you're studying the way they lose their gas.
Yes. So the hot Jupiters that are really close to their stars are getting just bathed in tons of radiation from that star. You think about a planet that orbits in only 3 or 4 days. It's like really close to the star. And we can study how the atmosphere heats up and then can literally just escape from the planet. It gets so hot that it can leave the planet and be lost to space. And these hot Jupiters are sort of a unique experimental setup to study this because it's something that's obviously happening. It's like a controlled environment where we can watch it happening, and there's so much atmosphere that it'll never lose all of it. Whereas studying it on a smaller planet is a little more difficult because the smaller planets have less atmosphere. So they erode quickly, and by the time we look at them, we're not able to catch that process in action.
And how fast and how much do they lose, these hot Jupiters?
So the one that I have been studying, WASP-69b, we estimate is losing about 200,000 tons of its atmosphere per second.
Second?
Per second, yeah. And this will average over a billion years. This is about the mass of the Earth. So every billion years, this thing is losing an Earth's worth of its atmosphere.
Gosh. Where do you go to study this? Do you look up at a telescope and so on?
We use the Keck telescopes here at UCLA. It's an enormous telescope that's like 10 meters in diameter, which helps you collect a lot of light, which is what you need. And using these telescopes, we can watch these planets orbiting their star. We can watch them transiting in front of the star and see what's happening in the atmosphere.
But what do they end up with? Have you managed to see ones at the end of their mature life?
So we have found cores, really, really massive, dense, rocky cores that are orbiting closely to their stars. And the interpretation there would be that, yeah, perhaps this was a gas giant that lost all of its atmosphere. But for the most part, they're pretty resilient to losing so much atmosphere that they get totally stripped. So again, for this planet, WASP-69b, even at 200,000 tons per second for the 10 or 14 billion years that system will be around, it will never lose all of its atmosphere. It just has that much that it can last the entire lifetime of the system.
It reminds me on a smaller scale of Psyche, the asteroid that's made of metal, a lump of metal, all that's left.
Yeah. So Psyche is interesting because we think that it's a remnant of like a planetesimal core. So this is the sort of thing that is going into the cores of planets that are being formed. And at the end of the day, everything in the system doesn't get used up. Sometimes there's just junk, there's extra stuff in the asteroid belt that never ended up going anywhere. But if you study it, you can learn about what those cores are. And I think that there's something on Psyche, there's estimated to be an insane amount of gold, hundreds of quadrillions of dollars worth of gold or something like that, which makes sense because gold is very dense, it's very heavy. You would expect it to sort of sink down to the core. And if this is truly an old remnant core or something that could have been, then we should expect to find a lot of heavy metals and precious metals in it.
The Cosmic Investigations of Dakota Tyler at University of California, Los Angeles. And just imagine some of those hot Jupiter tails are 700,000 kilometers long.